everyone. Welcome into episode 7 of the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. I am Patrick Netherton. Super excited to have you with us. I got a couple of barbecue things that are working on my end, on the personal side. Very excited about. I'll tell you about those in just a second. But this episode, we're going to get outside of Texas again. Last week, we had Blake Stoker from Martin, Tennessee. We'll have some of the comments about having Blake at Blake's at Southern Milling. That'll be coming up after our interview. That is in our smoke section, the smoke, which is the viewer or listener mailbag. We encourage you to participate, to send in your thoughts, your questions, your comments, your opinions. You can do it in so many ways. You can leave a voicemail. We haven't had a voicemail yet. Would love to put one of those on the show. You can voicemail, send a voicemail or a text at 318-6570-HAM, 318-6570-426. You can send a traditional email, patrick@thebbqhound.com. And of course, you can find us on all of our social media platforms at TheBBQHound. Send us comments on our YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, all of that good stuff. We'd appreciate. This episode, we're going to go to Kansas City, one of the great meccas of barbecue, of course, the place that invented burnt ends. And we're going to talk with Tyler Harp, a guy who is a Kansas City native and is doing Texas-style barbecue in Kansas City. And with the likes of Arthur Bryant's and LC's and Gates and all of those traditional barbecue powers up there, he's doing something a little different, that Texas craft style, and is having is really doing amazing work. If you're anywhere near the Kansas City area, you need to go visit Harp Barbecue and see Tyler Harp, because what they are doing is astounding, especially in a place that is as tradition-laden as Kansas City is. On a personal note, got to go over this week to Riverport Barbecue, visit one of the OGs, Steve and Joseph at Riverport. My mind's still the best side I've ever had in barbecue is the baked beans at Riverport in Jefferson. Just incredible. Steven has been in the Texas Monthly Top 50 list twice, hasn't lost the fastball at all. The brisket was tremendous. The ribs were great. He thought his ribs were overcooked. I didn't detect them being overcooked at all. The sausage he's doing, a house-made sausage now, which is really good. And we will have Steven on here in the upcoming weeks. Just kind of wanted to wait and get established before we get one of the OGs on here. That is definitely Steven Joseph. So if you're anywhere near the Jefferson, Texas area, highly recommend you get over to Riverport Barbecue. Also very excited because I am headed down to the Rio Grande Valley coming up here in, and we will talk about that next week on the show, but going to get to go down Teddy's and GW's, which is number 5 on the Texas Monthly list, going to go get a couple of stamps while I'm down there, and very much looking forward to hitting the Rio Grande Valley, the greater Harlingen, you know, Brownsville, Edinburgh area, and get over to see GW's, and then hope to have the GW's crew on the show at a later date. So we'll see if we can make that happen as well. But we'll talk about that trip coming up in just a bit. But did want to tell you about the Riverport trip in this one. Got to go to Kansas City back in 21 and visit Tyler Harp and Harp Barbecue, and it was a magnificent trip. He hooked us up. Again, if you're in the Kansas City area, make sure that you get to Harp Barbecue. Try all the traditional places, the Gates and the Arthur Bryant's and LC's and whatnot, but make sure you make an opportunity to go see Tyler Harp at Harp Barbecue. So he joins us now as we talk a little bit about a Kansas City boy doing Texas craft barbecue in his hometown. Joined now by Tyler Harp of Harp Barbecue in the greater Kansas City area, as he's bringing a little Texas flair to what's going down in one of the traditional barbecue meccas in all of the world, Kansas City. We're going to get into kind of the differences that are going on with Tyler and his crew versus what is traditionally there in Kansas City. But had a chance to visit him before he got his brick and mortar spot, and it was lovely. Just one of the best platters of barbecue you'd ever want to eat. Tyler, first of all, brother, how are you? How's things?
I'm doing good. We're making it one day at a time. Probably like a lot of people right now in the barbecue world, just trying to piece it all together and get to the next month. So
yeah. Well, prices are insane right now, as you know better than anyone, because you have to buy them. Let's go back though. We always like to kind of start at the beginning. What's your background? How did you end up in the barbecue world? What sort of drove you to, or as I like to say, how did the barbecue bug bite you?
Yeah. So for me, probably got me pretty early, you know, in Kansas City, the competition scene's pretty large here. So I grew up with my dad and my uncles competing on the competitions circuit around the city here. So I'd probably go to, I don't know, 6 or 7, maybe 8 barbecue contests a summer with them. So being young, I was always around barbecue, cooking a lot. I was, you know, that pretty much lasted probably until about high school, give or take, when I was 15 or 16. I started working for the Royals. So baseball and barbecue were kind of like staples of my adolescence. And once I was done working for the Royals, I worked in butcher shop, steakhouse. I was still around meat a lot. And yeah, eventually found my way back to barbecue, just cooking on my back porch to stay out of trouble, more or less. And yeah, one thing led to another, and I was cooking quite a bit and really enjoyed doing it. And I started selling barbecue in our driveway in 2016. And I was kind of traveling, learning from a lot of people that know more than I do. We spent a lot of time in Texas, West Tennessee, you know, the Carolinas, Southern California, which has turned into a big hotbed down that way now as well. So I was pretty fortunate, kind of got to travel, see things, learn from people that, that know a lot more than me. In 2019, we started selling our barbecue at Crane Brewery in Raytown, Missouri. We did that through the pandemic and did that until about 2022 when we opened in, we opened a restaurant down the street from the brewery we were at in Raytown. We were there for 2 years and we're getting ready to celebrate our 1 year at our new restaurant in Overland Park. So we went from the far east side of the metro to the west side. So kind of bounced around a bit.
So you're, do you show west side now? Is that like your thing? You have to, man, east side, west side of Kansas City? Is that a big thing?
I've always been from the east side, so I show no signs or affiliations.
What were you doing with the Royals?
I worked on the grounds crew. I worked in the visitors clubhouse. So I was a ball boy, clubby, and a ground crew guy. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Baseball is kind of always something that I've been enamored with, you know, a lot like barbecue. And yeah, just like I said, my childhood, a lot of baseball, a lot of barbecue, two things I grew up around and always loved being around.
Any good stories from the visiting clubhouse? I know a lot of that is sacrosanct. You can't talk about what goes on in the clubhouse, but anything you can relay to us from your time?
Yeah, there's lots of good stories. You know, it was a blast. And for me, I think a lot of it that I picked up and what I got to witness and being an 18, 19, 20-year-old impressionable kid was, you know, when you're in that scenario, you get to be around people that are very successful and at the pinnacle of their career and what they do. And so just being around that and seeing how, you know, people that are at the top of their game go about their business, how they carry themselves, how they treat other people. You know, that was a big thing I learned. And just kind of, you know, obviously I wasn't ever athletic enough or physical enough to play baseball at a very high level. But you see people that are professionals at what they do and how they go about their business, how they carry themselves, like a lot of times how they treat other people. So, yeah, that's really what I learned was how people that are at the top of the game go about their business. And so that was a great thing to see, even though at the time you don't really fully understand what you're seeing or what you're watching or even how you're processing it. But seeing professionals every day just go about their business is something you can't, you know, it's a part of my journey that you can't replace because I've, you know, I'm very thankful for that time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because people think of the locker room and they think of champagne celebrations. You just won the division. You just won the pennant, that sort of thing. Yeah. But what you don't see is the pregame, right? And these guys are locking in and they have a lot of them are very ritualistic and very superstitious. They're doing the same things over and over again. But to me, that's one of the interesting aspects of athletics and cool that you were able to bring that into your own life. And that is that, look, it's you can have fun, but when it's time to lock in and be ready to go to work, you have to lock in and be ready to go to work.
Yeah, and I think the other thing you value about as you reflect, as you get older, you see people that are good leaders. One, for example, would be Albert Pujols, you know, just a class act, always treated everybody the right way, please, thank you. You know, just a great guy. And you see why he's the type of player that elevated people around him. You see why, you know, he's a World Series champion. And you know, to be around people of that mindset at a young age, like I said, it's very impressionable. And it's something you can't, you know, I wouldn't be where I am without being around seeing that stuff.
Well, and the cool thing is that, as you mentioned, being impressionable, you are learning life lessons, even though you're not necessarily absorbing them. You're absorbing them kind of in the back of your brain, not necessarily in the front of your brain. Even though you don't know you're learning things, you're actually learning things.
Yeah, I had no clue that, you know, barbecue was going to be a part of my path at that point in my life. But definitely lots of lessons you can take from structure and discipline and routine and habit. And again, really what I've always found is a lot of it is how you treat other people. So that goes a long way. It means a lot, especially in business. And, you know, you have to be able to make a connection with people. You have to also, you have to be a leader of your restaurant. You know, you have to have people that want to work with you, believe in your vision. And, you know, that's, you can't just tell somebody this is what we do and they're going to buy in, you know. So it takes a lot of effort. It takes energy. It takes making people believe that you're the most passionate about what you do, you know, so they'll follow suit.
Yeah, it's interesting to me as well, because you're talking about an industry in barbecue where more times than not, you fail when you start. And it's not necessarily you fail and you lose your business, but as you were talking about, you're cooking in your backyard, in your driveway, that kind of thing. And you're learning lessons every day. And it's the same thing to me with athletics and especially baseball, right? Hall of Famers are still 67% of the time not getting it done. But if you get it done 33% of the time, that makes you a Hall of Famer. To me, barbecue's a lot of the same way, where you have to be able to absorb and learn from failure in order to eventually have success.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because what one person defines as failure may not be what somebody else does. Because, like I said, you know, if Albert on the plate, if he strikes out his first at bat, everyone might be like, that's a failure. But he might go back to the clubhouse, because he was always the kind of the guy he was. He watched so much film, so much video. He might pick up on something in that first at bat and go 3 for 3 the rest of the game. And then the game 3 for 4, and, you know, so was that one at bat really a failure, or did he just learn and kind of fail forward, as I like to say, and mm-hmm. learn to, you know, figure it out? So obviously, yeah, baseball is a game of low percentages, and, you know, the odds are against you. But, you know, it's always like Aaron Franklin, you know, he said, you know, in order to cook a lot of good brisket, you got to cook a lot of bad brisket. So it's a
Well, and it's funny, because I've never met a single barbecue pitmaster. I don't care how successful they are. Aaron Franklin, anybody that I've ever met, no one's ever come out and said, you know what, my first brisket was basically perfect. You know, that just has never happened.
No. You know what's funny is my first one was really, really good, and it took me almost like a year to get back to that point. Mm-hmm. It's funny how it kind of aligns with baseball, because in 2015, when the Royals made the World Series, that was when I cooked my first brisket solo, was for game one of the World Series. And I had no clue what I was doing, no clue what direction I was going or why I was even doing it. But I knew that I wanted to cook a brisket for 24 hours. And again, I had no rhyme or reason. I just knew I wanted to cook a brisket for 24 hours. So the game was at 7 o'clock or whatever. And so 7 p.m. the night before, I got this brisket on, cooked it all night. I had a little thin backyard smoker, you know, and at 7 o'clock in the morning, it started raining, and it rained all day, and I couldn't keep that pit to temp for nothing, but I was going to cook that brisket 24 hours regardless. But it's kind of funny, because looking back at it, you know, I was probably really just holding and resting that brisket for 8 or 9 hours because of the wet weather and how rainy it was. So the pit was probably like 160 degrees or something. Mm-hmm. So in reality, my first brisket probably turned out way better almost on accident, because I ended up like cooking it for 12 hours and basically resting it for another 10 or 12 hours. And then you spend like 6 or 8 months, it seemed like, for me, trying to like, dang, the first brisket I cooked was good, but why can't I get back there? So what's funny is I kind of accidentally cooked a good brisket the first time, and then I couldn't figure out how to get back there again.
Yeah, it sounds more like Mother Nature cooked a really good brisket the first
time. Yeah, I got the assist from Mother Nature. But yeah, and then, you know, you start learning about resting your brisket, holding your brisket, and some stuff like that, which is going to help tremendously when slicing. So, yeah, for me, it's kind of funny how it worked out, even with the Royals World Series and cooking the brisket and my past of baseball and barbecue. And like, that was kind of the moment it came together. And then, so that was in October of 15, and I was cooking a lot of briskets. And then in May or so the next spring, we went on a friend's trip to the lake, and we rented a big lake house, and there was 15 or 20 of us or so at this lake house, and I just cooked barbecue all weekend. That's what I did, and fed everybody. I just hung out on the deck cooking the whole weekend, and I was like, you know, this is, I think, what I'm going to start doing. And I'd already worked in restaurants and stuff, so to me it was just kind of, I guess, the natural evolution. But that's how the bug got me. It was baseball and just being at the lake, hanging with friends, and being the guy that wanted to cook for everybody.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. And look, as everybody that I've talked to in your industry, and certainly anyone that's really in the restaurant business, no one gets into that business for money. You get in that business because of passion. And if you can't enjoy cooking for all your friends on the deck at the lake house, then chances are you're not going to like cooking for a bunch of people, even though they're paying money for it.
Yeah, you have to want to do it. You have to be excited to do it. And, you know, it's every day. It's long hours in barbecue. I'm fortunate. I got a great morning crew. So Tony gets there every morning, gets the pits fired and loaded up. And, you know, I'm glad that I don't have to get there at 5 a.m. every morning. And I'm pretty much working from like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. right now, which is a pretty good spot to be in. I feel like it's not bad. But, you know, I'm fortunate I have a great crew around me that really cares, that love barbecue and buys the vision of what we're trying to bring to Kansas City. So I've been fortunate, and yeah, it's been rewarding too.
Speaking of what you're trying to bring to Kansas City, you're doing Texas barbecue in a mecca of barbecue in Kansas City that is not necessarily known for brisket unless it's burn ends. They're much more known for pork. And as we mentioned, the burn ends are kind of what put Kansas City on the map and is sort of their mm-hmm. calling card. Was there an intimidation factor when you decided to go from selling it in your driveway to, hey, let me go to a brewery and actually sell this thing commercially, and then eventually a brick and mortar? You know, you're in a really interesting area for barbecue that maybe, I don't know, were they ready for what you wanted to do for when you're bringing that sliced brisket out that's yeah. Texas style? That is not what they do in Kansas City. What was that like yeah. trying to kind of take that on?
Well, for me, I wouldn't really say it was intimidating. I get my head down on focus. To me, what was scary was not pursuing what you're passionate about, you know? So to me, I would have been scared to not pursue it, because again, making people happy through food, through smoked meats, is just something that it fulfills my soul. So I feel like in Raytown, people were ready for it and a lot more open-minded and everything with the food. And it's been more of a struggle where we're at in Overland Park to get people to adapt to it. But one day at a time. So it's, you know, where we were in Raytown, we were real close to downtown. We were maybe 10 minutes from the city, and now we're about 30 minutes kind of southwest. And so it's just a little bit slower to evolve out that way, but we're getting people to figure it out one day at a time.
Is it, you almost have to kind of proselytize, right? You almost have to kind of be a preacher in some ways, sort of extolling the values of Texas barbecue versus what people have grown up with their whole lives.
Yeah, and especially right now, because, you know, meat across the board is really expensive. I know there's barbecue restaurants in our city, and I would talk to people and have friends, and I know there's places that have raised their prices three times alone in the last 12 months. And so people come in to us being a newer spot to our location, and they're kind of upset, or we'll get fired up about the prices or this and that. And it's like, you know, just the way it is now. And I hate it as much as everybody. It's not good for my business. It's not what I want to do. You know, I'd rather sell brisket for 19 bucks a pound and all of us be fat and happy. You know, like, that's what I want too.
But yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not the way it is right now. I mean, you know, labor is really expensive, rent's really expensive, obviously protein's really expensive. So it's just kind of honestly a bad storm for barbecue at the moment, that we're all kind of keeping our head down, trying to grind and get through. trying to get creative with dishes. I know some people are creating ghost kitchen concepts in their restaurants to try to do things that are, you know, that are more profitable, that make more sense than barbecue. So that's something we're going to be exploring as well. Just trying to battle, fight, and scratch to keep going. It's tough times right now, but, you know, the people that want to evolve and figure it out, I think most of them will.
Yeah, it's and that's the shame of it is, I would argue, and you, yeah, I'm guessing you probably would agree, that barbecue has never been better as a whole. What, you know, the craft barbecue, you know, you do a lot of that stuff with the craft stuff, like the craft barbecue market is so good right now. And the creativity is so good. And the stuff that people are putting out is so good. That's the shame of that kind of coalescing with prices being the way they are right now, because it is dampening what is, I would say, kind of a renaissance of barbecue in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like I said, I've been fortunate in a lot of different ways, but I got to go to Goldie's with my dad about 3 weeks ago.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so we just hopped in the car, drove down. We're about 7.5 hours from Fort Worth, and you know, it was amazing. It was one of the best meals I've had. We got to go over to Dane's and eat there too, and then went over to Bricks for Trevor's last bit of service. And it was the first time I'd been to Texas in a few years. I've just been busy, and it wasn't a very long trip. It was one I got to take, and it was, you know, more or less just to get out on the road with my dad and make some memories again. But yeah, I was blown away. It just, they, those guys keep evolving, keep getting better, keep pushing the bar, and gals, everybody, it's crazy. The food there is just so good. It's hard to even explain to people, you know. You just have to go.
And yeah. It's, you know, it's remarkable. And I'll pay you a compliment from a buddy of mine, a friend of mine who lives in Pearland, and he literally lives 5 minutes from Ronnie Killen's place at Killen's Barbecue, which to me is still one of my favorite barbecue places in the world. I still love what Ronnie does, whether he's on the top 50 list or not. That dude is putting out high quality barbecue. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And we'll have him on the show here before too long. We're definitely going to make sure we do that. But my buddy, who literally lives 5 minutes from Killen's Barbecue, goes there anytime he wants. He's been with me on a lot of trips. He's not certified like I am, but that dude knows barbecue. He's been on enough trips to know. And we all went up to Kansas City in 2021, and I was asking around, and several of your friends in the Pitmaster world said, hey, go see Tyler Harp. And so we went and saw you. You were in the brewery in 21, and we went and you hooked us up. You gave us the big Pitmaster platter, which I certainly appreciate. And my buddy, when I told him I was about to do this interview with you, he said, that was, in my mind, still a top five barbecue place I've ever been to. And he's been all around Texas eating at a bunch of different Texas places. He said, what Tyler is doing is as good or better than the places in Texas. He goes, it's still top five for me. So understand that you love Texas barbecue, but folks in Texas love you as well.
All right. Well, I really appreciate that. It's been a big inspiration for me to try to personally raise the bar for myself and my restaurant and the food we're cooking. Ronnie is extremely smart businessman. He really knows what he's doing. I wish someday I could have half of his knowledge. He's a
I wish I could
guy.
Have half of his restaurants at this point. Yeah, you know, like he's got like nine of them at this point.
He knows what he's doing, and I'm still trying to feel my way through the darkness. So he's been around the block. I think a lot of guys in the game look up to him and understand that, what he's been able to build and how difficult it has been to get to that point. So he definitely commands a lot of respect from everybody around barbecue. And like I said, he's an OG, and he's got the knowledge for sure.
He definitely is. He's also did one of the most impossible things in barbecue cooking. He lost like 80 pounds, which is crazy to even consider when cooking barbecue every day. I don't even know how you would think about doing that.
I got there at one point myself, and now this new restaurant's been a little stressful on me. So I need to
understand.
Need to get back to it myself. But yeah, like I said, an inspiration in more than one way for sure.
Hey, what, you know, I was talking about Kansas City, and it is legendary, and there are so many incredible places, Joe's and Gates and, you know, so many places that do so many amazing things there. How do you try to differentiate yourself from what they're doing? Because you aren't doing the same stuff they are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really try to look at it, like, differentiate myself from anybody. I try to just focus on cooking the best barbecue we can do, and, you know, not to keep going back to Albert Pujols, but like I said, you know, we're going to strike out at times, and we're going to – sometimes we're going to foul out or whatever the case may be, but we just have to, you know, learn what we did, try and figure it out, and not let it happen again. So, you know, the improvements we make every day, every week, every month, I think a lot are just from those experiences and understanding, like, hey, you know, you're never going to be perfect. You know, one thing we've really tried to focus on is our guest experience and making sure we have the best experience possible, and just trying to keep everybody comfortable, happy, and well fed. And like I said, it's tough. And when you do a different regional style than what people are accustomed to, especially at this rate, because they think it's way more expensive, even though it's probably only slightly at best, if not on par with the rest of the prices around town. It's just everything has changed so much in the last 36 months alone, that people that don't eat out all the time may not just realize, like, this is, you know, you're not going to get a brisket sandwich anywhere for under, you know, $12-$13. Like, that's just how brisket is right now. So, and it's unfortunately not looking like that's going to get any better anytime soon. So it's just kind of trying to find different things for your menu to appeal to different people. And but yeah, we just focus on what we do. We try to put out the best barbecue we can put out. And then hopefully people will recognize that, you know, we're there to, you know, legit just get better every single day. And we're not there just resting on our laurels or trying to just do as much volume as we can. That's never really been our business model. Our business model has more or less been, let's put out the best barbecue we can. Let's be as nice to people as we can. Let's keep this restaurant as clean as we can for people. And at the end of the day, hope it all works out. And if it does, it does. And if it doesn't, you know, we know that we've tried everything that we can try, and you know, we'll be able to know, like, hey, we did the best we could. So
you had mentioned sports, obviously, and growing up as a sports fan. I think one of the cool aspects of having a neat place in town is you've gotten to some of the visiting teams that have come in, and maybe some of the Chiefs and the Royals. Tell me about some of the folks that have graced your presence.
Definitely to date, the biggest one is probably Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach. I was cooking at the Windy City Smokeout in Chicago, and my friend Drew came up to me and he said, hey, I got somebody that wants to talk to you. And I said, okay. He introduced me to a guy named Luke Butkus, who is the grandson of Dick.
I was going to say, pretty conspicuous last name there.
Yeah, when you're in Chicago and someone named Butkus wants to meet you, yeah. And so anyway, he's the offensive line coach for the Packers. And yeah, he got us set up, and we got to cook for all the Packers coaches. That was a really cool experience. We've got to cook in Aria in Las Vegas for Chiefs Raiders weekend.
There you go.
So that was a really cool experience. And really got to cook, you know, at different places. We haven't had you know, as far as Chiefs we fed, Mitchell Schwartz would be the one that comes to mind. He's a former offensive lineman.
Right.
Cleveland Brown and Kansas City Chief. But outside of that, we haven't fed a ton of Chiefs or Royals guys. But we've got to do a lot of really cool things. So
yeah, we got to get on that. The old strength and conditioning coach for the Chiefs is a former Northwestern State Demon. So
okay.
I may have to make a little see if we can't make a little inroad there.
We're good. What's funny is we feed the equipment staff.
No, so they're the right guys.
I made friends with Cale Kirby, who's he used to be in baseball, so he's working minor league baseball. And just talking to him one day, and I used to be a clubby in baseball. He used to be a clubby in baseball. So we just hit it off. But we do send food to the clubbies every year. And so it's funny with my clubby past, that's something that I'm definitely proud we get to do.
Absolutely. So, you know, as we mentioned, you're in a mecca for barbecue. You're doing something a little bit different, but you're obviously having success with it. You know, you went from your driveway to the back of a brewery to your own brick and mortar. Was there a moment or maybe a time frame when you were like, okay, I can do this? Like, this is going to happen for me? Because I've got to imagine with that that area, that competition, it's so easy to be able to say, well, it's just not going to work out. And yet you've progressed. Was there at that moment where you said, okay, I know I can do this?
For me, it was a lot of osmosis, right? So I was around Andrew and Michelle from Moosecraft Barbecue quite a bit. I was around Danny from Heritage Barbecue quite a bit. And then kind of the core of the people that I came up with were like Blake Stoker, Dane Weaver, Trevor Sales. So I think it kind of went in that order, like, you know, Heritage opened and then Moose opened. And then I believe it was Blake opened and Dane opened. So you're seeing all the people that you've rubbed elbows with and that you're talking to on the phone every week, and people that you've cooked with in different settings and different places open their restaurants. And you know, it's kind of like, as you see the people that you're close with start to doing it, I think that's more or less when for me, the light switched, or the switch flip was that, like, yeah, we can do this. It was just osmosis and seeing everybody around me doing it. I said, man, I know it's going to be our time soon, because it's coming for everybody that's putting in the work. So
yeah, and your time has made it. So what's your group chat like then at this point? Because you mentioned, you know, obviously Blake Stoker we just had on last week, from Blake's at Southern Milling in Tennessee. Like, who are you mentioned these folks that you came up with? Who are you leaning on these days? Who's in the group chat?
Yeah, definitely Blake. A lot we talk. What he's been able to do is incredible. You know, and I've personally spent a lot of time in West Tennessee, so I know the area between Memphis and Nashville pretty well. I've got to cook with Zach Parker down there quite a bit, been to Blake's. And, you know, from seeing what Blake was in that food truck to where he is now and how his food is received by the people, it's incredible. You know, it's crazy how far he's come. So big inspiration for me. And I talk to Blake maybe a couple times a month or once a week. I'm always just trying to pick his brain, ask him what's going on. Same with Dane. When Dane was out opening in Taiwan, I was talking to him quite a bit. And it's the same questions. And then you go and see these guys and, you know, you get to visit their restaurants, which before I went to Dane's food truck and Blake's food truck, and now you're going to brick and mortars. I want to get down to Sunbird soon. I haven't got to go down there yet, but Brian, Bingham, and Dave are people I talk to all the time as well, who, again, you know, went from their situation to where they are. So it looks like they're doing really good. And then still talk to Andrew and Rustin, you know.
Yeah, Andrew Kasky. Yeah, by the way, had the Sunbird guys on week two, and yeah. Andrew will be on here before too long. I think he's still doing the best barbecue in Louisiana, in my opinion.
Doing some of the best barbecue in the United States. I mean, yeah, that was my opinion. You know, you can separate it regionally or do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, I think Bad Wolf is putting out some of the best barbecue of anywhere in the country, you know. And the cool thing about it is, you know, and once you get to see things and experience things, it's like, once you hit a certain level, it's almost just preference. Okay, I like this because of this or whatever. But, you know, Andrew's definitely on that preference level of so good that it's just a preference at that point. Do you like burnt bean? Do you like Goldie's? Do you like whatever? It's just, it's all so good. It's just kind of a small preference in different things. And I think Andrew's definitely right on that level.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when I tell people about judging all the time, and you know, because I went and got certified, and actually I posted a thing I'm going to talk about. I posted a thing. Someone was talking about judging barbecue, and mentioning how, and they showed a picture of their rib box that they turned in, and they said that the judge said it was one dimensional. or whatever. And I said, okay, did they say the box, like the food looked one dimensional or it tasted one dimensional? Because there's a difference. And one guy got on there and was like, oh, you paid to go get certified. All you judges are snobs or whatever. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to lie that I have a standard now when it comes to what I want to eat and with barbecue. But at the same time, I also find it, just like you mentioned, I find it really hard to differentiate between a Goldie's, a Burnt Bean, as you mentioned, Andrew over in Ruston, that like the guys that are doing it at such a high level, I don't know how you judge between them, to be honest with you, because the food is so good. And every time you go, it's a great experience. Like I really struggle. It's one thing to have 10 slices of brisket that are anonymous and you can tell, hey, five of these aren't really good. Five of them are very good. And maybe, you know, three of them are very good. Maybe two of them are almost, they're at the very top. The problem is when you go to the top places around here, your place, Ruston, Blake's in Martin, Tennessee, brother, I don't know how you differentiate, you know, I don't know how you do it. I really don't. And I'm supposed to be the guy that's differentiating these things. I don't know how Daniel Vaughn and his crew make a top 50 list. I really don't.
Yeah. Kind of to me, the way that I've kind of at this point in my life, instead of like trying to differentiate, I give a lot of credit to Goldie's, Burnt Bean, Interstellar as guys that have unlocked new levels of barbecue, you know, and I feel like, you know, once it's unlocked by somebody, then the rest of us are all chasing it. Leroy and Lewis in that category as well. So when, you know, it's a Goldie's, Burnt Bean, Interstellar, Leroy and Lewis, for me personally, and actually I'd probably put Cadillac in that tier too, of places that are just like unlocking new levels of what barbecue can be. And so those are the places we try to visit, right? And try to get motivation and inspiration and learn from each other. You know, barbecue is a skill that's passed from man to man. And that's kind of one of the beauties of it. Even if you're watching YouTube, if you're watching Chud or whoever you're watching on YouTube, like it's still a skill passed from man to man, woman to man, woman to woman. So that's the beauty of barbecue. You know, we're all learning from each other at the end of the day.
And by the way, it's cool to learn from YouTube, but it's a lot easier to learn in person.
Yeah. I like both. You know, I like to have the knowledge at the fingertips, but I'm more of a doer myself personally, so I just have to do things. I have to jump in the pool and start swimming or I won't figure it out. But it is good to have instructional video of what you're trying to achieve before you ever do have to jump in the pool. But
one of the things that because of the price of brisket, we're seeing a lot of folks try to, you mentioned ghost kitchens that folks are doing with different types of things. One of the things that I think is cool you're doing is giving back in terms of teaching. Tell us a little bit about how you kind of got into the idea of wanting to teach.
Well, I got to give a special shout out to Michael Crane, who owned Crane Brewery when we were at the brewery. Michael's a part of a group in Kansas City with Jasper Mirable, who is one of the most well-known chefs here. He owns Jasper's. It's a great Italian restaurant. And so him and Michael, they're in charge of a group called Slow Foods, Kansas City. And so they had reached out maybe 4 months ago or so and asked if we wanted to do a Slow Foods brisket class. And if Michael wants to do something, I pretty much always say yes, because I owe him forever, so I can never say no.
Sure.
But and you know, that was kind of when it dawned on me that, you know, I like sharing my knowledge. A lot of people shared their knowledge with me. That's how I got to where I am, was Zach Parker teaching me how to cook pigs, or Dane, showing me how he makes sausage, you know, whatever it was. But, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, barbecue is something that we teach each other, and it's how it keeps evolving and keeps pushing forward. And there's guys with barbecue restaurants here that are in some of the classes. And I think that's cool that we can all help and learn and, you know, to really create something like they have in Fort Worth or in Houston or in Austin. You know, it's not a bunch of people working against each other, you know, because that's just not really how knowledge is spread. You have to work with each other. And that's why you have these hotbeds of incredible barbecue where, you know, in Houston, for instance, you might go to Truth, which is amazing. You might go to Fegis, which is amazing. Go to Rogel's, which is really good. Blood Bros. I mean, the list goes on. But, you know, the reason there's a lot of really good barbecue in one city, rather which city you take your pick, but it's because a lot of those people are working together. They're sharing knowledge. They're at festivals working side by side. And again, like I said, you got the guys that are unlocking new levels of barbecue. And that's kind of like, you know, the people that you want to align yourself with. So that's what we're trying to bring here. We got a long way to go. Like I said, it's, you always, you know, it keeps you really humble going to eat at those places too, because you realize how far you have to go.
Brother, I'll tell you again, it's minute levels, right? It really is. It's not massive levels. Like, your differentiation between what you're doing and what a Goldie's is not, it's not much, I can assure you. So let's just say someone's listening to this podcast and is maybe in the Kansas City area. If they wanted to get involved, could they come in and take your classes?
Yeah, we do. We do them on Sundays. So right now we've got one scheduled for October, November. We're going to get the December, January, February portion of the calendar set up next. We do them on Sunday afternoons. We do them during non-Chiefs times, because trying to compete against Mr. Mahomes in this city is a worthless cause.
So, no, it's bad business, sir. Bad business.
Work with them and not against them. So we register on our site. They're $120. There's beer, soft drinks. You leave with a plate of food. So it's kind of about camaraderie and bringing people together and sharing the knowledge, so that as a whole we can kind of keep elevating Kansas City barbecue. And
are you doing just brisket, or do you have other classes as well?
No, we had a sausage class, we had a brisket class, we have a barbecue 101 class next month, which I'm going to go into whole hog quite a bit. Burnetta McKendry will be there, who is the granddaughter of Henry Perry, who is the guy that gets a lot of credit for starting Kansas City barbecue. And then I'm hoping to have my buddy Josh Swope, who is in Fort Worth. He is a meat purveyor. And so he, even before he sold meat, he was in all these barbecue restaurants all the time, which is kind of how he got the job he got, because he was already in the barbecue restaurants anyway. So when I go to Texas, a lot of times I'll eat with Josh and we'll go on trips, and he has very knowledgeable guy on Texas barbecue. That's something we're going to kind of just try to show the different regions. I really want to like share my knowledge with Whole Hog Barbecue and what I know. Whole Hog is something near and dear to my heart, and something I want to continue to see grow.
You know, you mentioned that some of the other pitmasters around Kansas City have been coming to your classes. Is there a camaraderie there? Because we talk all the time, the Texas pitmasters all seem to know each other and be with each other. And you mentioned a lot of the guys that are, you know, Blake and the guys at Sunbird. I mean, there's a lot of camaraderie. Do you find that within Kansas City? Because, again, there are some really old, legendary type places. Yeah. And then there's some new school type places that are popping up. Do you see that camaraderie?
Yeah, I do. I think, there's people that want to learn, and there's people that just want to kind of stick in their own lane. So whatever it may be, but yeah, we have a handful of guys that come in all the time. So yeah, it's cool to see. And I think the younger guys are, you know, it's the new air or whatever you want to call it. Obviously, you know, just like in Texas, you got a lot of old school places that have been doing it that way, and that's why it's been there forever. So got to just tip your cap to that. And I think with a lot of the newer school craft guys kind of trying to push the envelope here, I'd say yes, for sure. And we're still pretty young into it, you know. There's maybe only four or five of us, so as it grows and as it pushes forward, I think the camaraderie will grow too.
All right, let me, for those that may be visiting Kansas City, obviously if you're not going to Heart Barbecue, you're doing it wrong, but give us a since you've been there a long time, give us maybe a little bit of the history of Kansas City barbecue. What should people expect when they show up? Obviously, if they go to your place, you're going to get more Texas stuff, but like the historical Kansas City style stuff, what would they expect if someone's visiting?
So I still like the old school barbecue spots. I might go to one here in a minute myself. You got Gates, you got LC's, you got Arthur Bryant's. Those are kind of the three that I would consider like the old school, you know, you do got Jackstat too. That's been around a long time, but, and kind of the way it started was in East Kansas City, it's where the Kansas City A's used to play. And so it was down in 18th and Vine. And that's kind of where barbecue in Kansas City started. Now, a lot of people weren't coming from the suburban communities to eat the barbecue. That didn't start until after the broadcasters on the baseball game would start talking about how you could smell the smoke coming over from Arthur Bryant's or Gates.
There you go.
And so the people started talking about barbecue, and then that's when people kind of started coming more from the suburbs to the city to eat barbecue. And yeah, so baseball, again, how it's funny, it circles back around. Baseball has a big hand in why Kansas City barbecue is where Kansas City barbecue is. And then I think it was like 1973 or 72 is when Calvin Trillin wrote the article on Kansas City burnt ends. And then, so we were getting a lot of, when the stadium was down in the city, we were getting, it was growing. Announcers were talking about it. And I want to say 72 or something like that, the Royals moved out further east, so the baseball wasn't there anymore. But then that's right around the time that Calvin Trillin wrote the burn in article that evolved and pushed everything forward. So we're pretty lucky right here in one block. In Kansas City, you got the place where burn-ins were created and the place where the Negro League Baseball was created. So it's a very cool part of Kansas City, very historical. If you're ever in Kansas City, I would say, you know, if you really want an old school Kansas City experience, go down to the Negro League Baseball Museum and go to the Jazz Museum and have lunch at Arthur Bryant's. That's
We did that when we traveled. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and to me, that's kind of the quintessential Kansas City experience, because at its core, that's what it is. It's baseball, it's barbecue, it's music. And that's kind of where all three of those things come together. So that's an amazing spot where you can really relish in the past. Arthur Bryant's, you know, at this point, it feels like you're going back in time by going in the building, like some of the places in, you know, in Lockhart or out in Elgin or something like that. It feels like they're older, more old school. So that's a really cool vibe where you kind of get to see a little more than just barbecue history. It's kind of really where Kansas City got its roots. But yeah, you know, if you're coming or you're flying in or flying out, I always tell people to say, stop at Scott's. He's up by the airport. Scott does great food, smoke craft barbecue there in the stadiums. They do great food at Arrowhead and Kauffman. So if you're at a Royals or a Chiefs game, which if you're coming to Kansas City for barbecue, you should probably go to a Chiefs game, because the tailgate at Arrowhead, it's where you want to be, as far as like partying, grilling, and, you know, really as something that I probably overlooked as far as like my path and how I got where I got is the Arrowhead tailgates.
Okay.
You know, that was something where, again, I always loved to be the guy with the grill in the truck, and I wanted to be out there cooking pork chops or whatever we were eating for breakfast before the game. And so, and then as I evolved, I would smoke briskets at home and take them out to Arrowhead with me in the morning. So, Arrowhead definitely has a big place in my heart as far as the path I was on and how I ended up where I am was definitely cooking at Chiefs games. So, you know, if you're coming to Kansas City, those are some things you got to do. We got the barbecue museum here now too.
Nice.
So we have a barbecue museum in Crown Center. It's a cool spot. We got the barbecue hall of fame out in the, it's out at the Legends where the NASCAR or the, Sprint Cup stadium is. So that's a cool thing to do. And then, like I said, for old school barbecue, Gates, Arthur Bryant's, LC's, all those spots are really cool. They got a special spot in my heart as far as like the nostalgia they bring to the table. You know, Q39 is a more modern restaurant.
It's a newer one.
Yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant. It's a beautiful space. They have a wider variety of a menu, and I really like it a lot. You know, Joe's and Slaps and those places are kind of competition driven, you know, places that, so here you got your old school spots, you got your competition spots, you got your new school spots, and then you got to have like your craft spots. So a lot of different styles of barbecue in Kansas City, which I think we're really fortunate to have, because you know, I don't think any city has the array or the variety that we do. Like I said, Q39 is so much different than Joe's, which is so much different than Arthur Bryant's, which is so much different than Jack Stack's. So none of those places are even close to each other. You could go to all four of those restaurants blindly and feel like you're in four different cities if you didn't know better. So
that's so good. That's so cool. Yeah. And again, I love the fact that there's some embracing of each other within that as well, because it could be a very competitive thing. Before I let you go, I got to ask you about your tattoos. Now, obviously, for folks that are just listening to this podcast, it may be a little different, but show off at least the one on the, there you go. Tell us what you got on your forearms.
Oh man, I just got a bull and a pig, and it's kind of just a reminder.
So just to give the description, they're just an outline of the body of a bull and the outline of the body of a pig on each forearm.
It just reminds me that when things get really hard, I can't go sell insurance or something, you know, I got to stick to what I'm doing, you know, so I'm committed, I'm here, I'm dedicated, not going anywhere. So I like them because like I said, when things have gotten really difficult or really tough and you're like, man, I can't quit. I got it tattooed on my arm.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can go sell pig insurance. Like, I don't know. Does pig insurance exist? Does cow insurance exist? Like, maybe you can go sell that.
Yeah, there's something maybe. But ultimately for me, food and meat and making people happy through the food we're able to cook is what drives me.
Well, I can tell you this, having been there, you hooked us up when we showed up. You didn't know who the heck I was. And I came in dropping some names, and you took care of us. And I do appreciate that. That was a great meal. As I mentioned, my buddy who lives in Pearland near Killen said still top five in his mind. And he's been all over Texas eating barbecue. Tyler, keep doing it. We appreciate you spending a little time with us. Love your stuff. Yeah. Anyone who visits Kansas City and doesn't go to Heart Barbecue is missing out. I can tell you that. Go to Gates, go to LC's, go to Arthur Bryant's, experience all that. But if you're not checking out what Tyler's doing, you're definitely missing out on the barbecue scene in Kansas City. Brother, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for spreading the gospel of barbecue. And I know I speak for a lot of guys in the business when I say we certainly appreciate it. So.
You are quite welcome, sir. That is our good buddy Tyler Hart from Hart Barbecue in Kansas City.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Tyler Harp of Heart Barbecue in Kansas City, or right outside of Kansas City, for joining us. What a terrific story. You could just feel the love and the passion that he has for his hometown and being a, basically growing up in the Royals organization as a clubby in the visitors clubhouse, that kind of thing. Like what a cool story to have a guy that basically decided to bring his slant on barbecue to his hometown, which was already one of the great meccas of barbecue. So if you get to the Kansas City, Missouri area, please go visit Tyler Harp and Harp Barbecue. Let him know you heard about it right here on the Barbecue Hound. We would appreciate it. All right, now it's time for the smoke. That is our listener viewer mailbag. If you would like to participate, you can text us at 318-657-0HAM, 318-657-0426. You can also leave a voicemail on that line and we'll play it on the show. Email is patrick@thebbqhound.com. You can also reach us on our YouTube page. Please go there and subscribe, share that. And of course, you can reach us on any of our social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, X, or Instagram. We are at the BBQ Hound on all of those. We did have one comment. I was mentioning that I went to Riverport Barbecue this past week and got to see one of the OGs, Stephen Joseph, who's been in the game for a long time, survived his building burning down and still bounced back and has had an incredible run. We mentioned been in the top 50 twice and still doing great work. And I talked about how his baked beans are my favorite side in all of barbecue, and he's still doing terrific proteins as well. But Jeff texted in on the text line, again, 318-657-0426. Jeff said, Patrick, I ended up visiting Riverport Barbecue and had the baked beans. You weren't kidding. They're probably the best side I've ever had. Also, the sausage was probably one of the best I've had as well. Bravo to Stephen Joseph and the work that he's doing out there. Yes, big ups to Stephen Joseph. Again, one of the OGs, guy's been doing it for decades and still doing it at a very high level. Now, Blake Stoker was our interview from last week of Blake's at Southern Milling in Martin, Tennessee, and we had quite a few comments about Blake. He is adorable, number one. And had the hat on, doesn't really know how to wear a hat, it seems, but a lot of people commenting on Blake Stoker from before the interview. Hungry Tanuki said one of the most beautiful buildings in barbecue, and he's right, that century-old Southern Milling building is incredible. Joe underscore Joe Ojeda just put the goat emoji, which is terrific. Smoked Pickle Barbecue referred to Blake as a true man of culture. And then we dropped the clip about him starting his barbecue journey by eating breakfast in the duck blind. And that's where he kind of started his passion for food. Had a couple of comments on that. Harold Pitmasters said, another great episode. Love his passion for barbecue and attention to details. I've never had barbecue east of Texas, but if I ever get the chance, I'll definitely stop by Blake's at Southern Milling. Berwin 92 said duck blind food is better than most anything a person could eat. Hashtag big facts. So there you go. Some of the comments that we got. And we do appreciate everyone for commenting. Don't forget, if you would like to comment on what we've got going on, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, we're on Instagram. All of those are at the BBQ Hound if you want to find them. So go check them out, and we would absolutely love to have you. As always, please subscribe, please share, tell your friends, tell your enemies. Let's continue to grow. We appreciate everyone for being with us as we've now kind of expanded our barbecue journey outside of Texas into Martin, Tennessee, and now this week into Kansas City, Missouri. Going to try to get into Arkansas a little bit coming up in the next few weeks, and then we'll round back over to Texas as we go along. So the journey continues. We appreciate you coming along with us, and we hope that you will continue to support our the establishments that we talk about. Go out and support barbecue. The prices are high, and they need your money more than ever. So go out and support barbecue wherever you may be. That's it for this week's episode of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. See you next week.